All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to a piece of a debate with a guy named Dr. David Wood proves the resurrection of Christ. That's a YouTube video. But one of the things he cites, and I was talking to Matt about, is that a Pew Research, and I went online and found the research, he cited the Pew Research, big polling company, found that in China, 91% of new Christians became Christians by being personally healed or witnessing someone else be healed.
Wow.
Miraculously. 91%. And he said that they found that every church in China practices some form of healing. A lot of it's very rural, so there's not a lot of medicine, so they need Jesus to do something. And it makes it that, you know, when God is the only alternative, it makes that kind of stuff a lot easier. We have all kinds of alternatives. But as David Wood proves the resurrection of Christ, and he's showing how well it is in history. I'm not going to quit, but I just wanted to find the reference for you. 91% of new Christians in China become Christians because they were personally healed or witnessed someone else get healed. It cuts through this atheistic, materialistic stuff like nothing else when a supernatural event happens. And that, from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, healing was his calling card. People flocked, they filled the streets, they're pressing him on every side just so they can touch him and to get healed. Because it is such a great need. And so, part of my history is I'm ordained through John G. Lake Ministries, and John G. Lake had powerful healing ministry. He died in 1935. But the thing that set him apart from all of the others at that time was that he set out to find out how to train others to do it. And he trained 100,000 people to just do what he did. And he got started in South Africa. He is one of the ones accredited with being an agent to end apartheid. Is because the whites with that motto, go to the black churches, he'd go to the black churches, the blacks, they know Stavos, white churches, he'd go to the white churches, and he said the gospel is for every man. The power of God is for every man. And so 100,000 people got South Africa, got healed, then he settled in eastern Washington state, 100,000 people in the 1918s, about when that big epidemic was blowing through. They had quarantine houses, and it was illegal to go into the quarantine houses. And, you know, they need healed. And so he'd go and pray for them, and the cops would be coming in the front doors. He's running out the back door. The people in the house got healed. 100,000 documented cases of healing. And so, we come up with all kinds of rationalizations why it isn't what it obviously is. And so he moved to Portland and reproduced the entire thing. Training people. He set up divine healing technician training classes. And that's what I've been through. So I'm going to send a copy of that with Matt, because he said it's such a secular atheistic state. That's the dominant ideology. And he said there's just nothing that cuts through that fog faster than witnessing a supernatural action of God. Like Jesus did. And then John 14:12 is one of my favorite verses. The same thing I do, you'll do also. So, practice. Mm-hmm. All right.
Sorry, I wear too many hats sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Comes with the big chair. All right. Couple books I brought. Timothy Keller, Making Sense of God.
Oh, there's a list.
Really good. He just calls it Invitation to the Skeptical. And he covers a whole lot of, a wide range of aspects of of showing why God makes a difference in absolutely everything. It's really good. He's got another one on the postmodern gospel, how to reach postmodern people. And relationship is one of those key aspects. It was in the early church, has been all through time, but in the last 50 years we had this instant for spiritual laws and all those kinds of things where we talk to people like that. But living in a post-Christian age is not the same as somebody who's never heard. Like in the early church, when they start taking the gospel to places, they have their pagan religions, but they're not like we are today. So many are inoculated against the gospel. Oh yeah, we heard that. So, and again, classical apologetics, R.C. Sproul, John Gerstner, and Arthur Lindsley. Just kind of where I got. That's basically what I did last weekend.
That one, Michael's been a go-to text for quite a while, right?
It's been around for quite a while, yeah. Okay. It's the sort of a definitive source of what is classical apologetics, and its history, and going back to Augustine, and Aristides, the philosopher, about 125 AD. I mean, from the very beginning, we're hauled into court for being Christians, for no other reason. So explanations start having to develop. And then over time, the theology develops, the apologetic develops. Why? It's just the truth of reality to whoever will listen. And that began in those court hearings, which is 1 Peter 3:15, and the context is persecution and suffering how we declare the hope that lives in us in the midst of unbelievable suffering is happening to the Christians of the first couple centuries. And then this goes back to the 1700s. Elias Boudinot is doing a response to the common sense guy.
You mean Thomas Paine?
Thomas Paine. Thomas' common sense was brilliant. And Paine wrote an atheistic treatise that was kind of shabby called The Age of Reason. And he's going on the Enlightenment presupposition, we're going to find a way to explain everything without God, because that's the only reason we need a God anyway, is to explain stuff. And that's the whole idea that's supposed to start with. But he wrote The Age of Reason, and one of the things that Elias points out is that Thomas Paine is riding on his own success of common sense to push this nonsense, the atheistic nonsense. And so he goes through the whole refutation of Paine's arguments. But this is good. I mean, we've been dealing with this stuff since the first century. Nothing about this is really new. And sometimes philosophers say, well, they're just old, dusty arguments. Well, if they're true, it doesn't matter how old they are. See, in the evolutionary way of thinking, everything is changing and everything is new. I was in the school district for 8 years. We went through 3 math curriculums in 2 years. Teachers had to learn a whole new math system 3 times in 2 years. It's because things change. That's the most fundamental thing in that view. So the idea that we have to have new arguments all the time, now we have to, as they come up with more refined, sophisticated arguments, we have to be able to respond to those. But it's still, we're going back to the most foundational things. If you leave out God, you're left with insanity. That's the end of the road when you leave out God. God is the only reasonable explanation for everything. Because when you follow any of these ideas to their logical conclusions, suffering is inevitable and irrationality is necessary because it doesn't have the right starting point. So So we start with God. And to that end, this is a quote by John Frame. It said, "A biblical understanding must stand on its own two feet without regard to any other system of thought. We can't assume, absorb a worldview that comes from unbelievers. The Bible has its own worldview. The Bible has its own way of understanding the relationships of things in the world to the human mind and to God. The Bible has its own way of gaining knowledge. If we assume anything less than these truths, how can we make any progress in apologetics? If we don't, then another system becomes a higher authority. We will also presuppose a biblical understanding of the world, of knowledge, and morality." So we start over here, which is all-encompassing. Or the others, if we start down here, or start with anything less, it becomes much more difficult to get higher up. So that's John Frame. Trying to touch briefly before on standard, and that's in the apologetics concepts.
Is it, Michael?
What's that?
As far as John Frame's thing.
Yes.
Can you give an example of where somebody's using a different frame of reference besides God?
In this picture here, this represents the three different, talking about evidential apologetics, which will start next week. That's kind of the most fun. And then evidential apologetics, classical apologetics is more rational. So evidential apologetics is more empirical. Science, the senses, the world around us, and there is powerful evidence for the things of God. I mean, the Bible and the world should agree. God's two great books should agree. And that's part of what I'm writing about in the threefold cord, is that science, philosophy, or theology, philosophy, and science should all, when they're working well, be in agreement and harmony. And it becomes a threefold cord. It's not, they reinforce each other. So in the empirical way of acquiring knowledge, we start here and look in there. And that's what all evidential apologetics does. Looking at science, looking at history. They're all things that are around us that we detect with our senses. That's the basis of the empirical way of acquiring knowledge. And rational is reason. And that's where we start out here. But both of them start short of God. They presuppose the existence of God, but they're trying to take like this, we're going to be neutral. But again, if we're going to be neutral, we have to set aside the fact that Jesus is Lord and see if we can come to that conclusion. And as a Christian, could never, that's just absolutely unthinkable. How could I set aside the possibility that Jesus is Lord to try and discover if he is? And that's a way it started.
I think maybe, Alan, as if I understand what you're saying, let's say you had a house built of Legos, okay, and people are looking at this Lego house, and you had to figure out how it came to be. How did this Lego house come to be? But one person accepts the fact that, well, it starts with, you know, manufacturing the Lego block. But this other person, that is off the table. There's nothing, you know, the Lego block itself is inherent and eternal. And so they're at the same starting point, but the one person is like this. And if you're to draw those lines out to their conclusion, they're way off of each other. And the person that has no ability to look beyond the Lego block, they're lost. It's insanity, as you say. I mean, you're left with nothing at that point, because you can't explain the Lego block.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? I think that's what you're asking.
That's right. Well, but let me just draw it down this way. Okay. 2 nights ago, a friend told me he says, well, I'm kind of skeptical about things of God. He said, I kind of take him a grain of salt. He goes to Catholic Church. And he said, I'm kind of careful like that. So and he, isn't that what he's doing is he's hanging on to, he's measuring the reality of God by his rational stuff going on. Is that what he's doing?
Experiential stuff.
Yeah.
And also rational.
Yeah.
Because he's not willing to allow himself to start a few steps back farther. That's off the table in his mind.
Yeah.
Well, because his you know, the Catholic Church officially embraces evolution. And so once you embrace evolution, if you understand that rationally, then you really can exclude God from any meaningful... So when you try to combine them, yeah, you're going to create skeptics, because how are they going to wrap their head around anything when they're so mixed up?
Right, and that Lego illustration, the Lego block is self-existing, and I can't push myself a step or two in front of that. I can't, because I'm starting in that cube.
In the box, yeah.
And everybody in here takes for granted the Bible as the absolute authority. Catholicism doesn't do that. Church doctrine is the absolute authority, and the Bible must come in underneath that.
It's subordinate to the church doctrine, correct?
Yes. And so that's part of the problem. He's starting somewhere else other than the authority of God and His Word.
Thank you.
And so he's starting more down here somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's not uncommon. Millions of years is exactly that.
Smart professional guy.
Yes.
Intelligence. It's not an intelligence issue.
And one of the things to determine, is this a rebellion? No. Don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. Or is it roadblocks? Because bad theology, bad experiences create all kinds of roadblocks. And those we can help people over with the power of the Holy Spirit to show everything about God.
Your starting point is faulty. You got
yes. And if you got a faulty starting point, then it's like loose ends, two loose ends on a guitar string or a piano mm-hmm. string. If those aren't secure, then you can't get the right sound out.
I like C.S. Lewis's like description of how he came to faith and all that, and because really he did sort of come from, you start from like evidence and you're looking back, but it didn't take him long to go, nothing points to, like there's nothing that exists there that has to be a God. There has to be a starting point. And then once he found that, then he stepped forward through that to find Christ. Like it wasn't, it was like, God first, there has to be a creator, and then obviously if he created everything, there had to be, he had to leave something to tell us he was the creator. And then so like each one of those steps, and eventually it was, yes, and then he has to serve him because he's the creator, we don't have anything else. And then it's very interesting, the whole like flow of that. Because yes. it feels sort of like, well, isn't that backwards of, you know, like most of our story, but not really, because he's going back to making sure that you're starting with the foundation.
Right. And to Lewis's credit, though, he was willing in humility to say, my starting block is wrong. I've got to adjust that.
That's huge.
Right, and that's where, like, with your friend, and this is where I've come to the conclusion, when people start to get agitated or defensive or... You're really messing with their fundamental foundation that they've built their entire life on. That's unnerving for anybody. I mean, if someone were to point out and say, hey, everything you've built your life on is faulty. You've started in the wrong place. Wow, that's going to knock you off your feet. And so you can understand the angst and the inner turmoil and the...
Now his professionalism is probably not set up against and hostile to the things of God. It's just his past and his experience and the things that he's lived through. Like a geology college professor, his career is probably on the line if he were to deny millions of years.